Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. The only one that's worthy is Jesus Christ. So many of those songs were talking about what the Lord has done and you know what he's doing. And I had something come to me. Well, really, it was yesterday evening. A lot of times the experiences I have with the Lord sometimes, honestly, is in prayer. Sometimes our prayer can be a confession of our need, right? Sometimes it is. Well, it should be. That's part of the prayer. Lord, help us. You know, Lord, forgive my sin. Lord, I'm coming near to you, and I need you. But he has promised if we come near to him, he will come near to us. And in this particular case, I just sensed my need. I know everybody here's got flesh, and so if you got flesh and you're serving the Lord, you know what your flesh is all about, right? Yeah. It's not a good thing. And the thing of it is that someone was sitting down in our men's meeting this morning, maybe it was Brother Ron that said it, you know what, there are no perfect men. They're not. There are no perfect ladies either. But invariably, we come short in some way, and we have to tell God about it. I don't know about you, but when I come short, I feel like I've got to say something or I'm going to explode. Because does the Lord see everything? Does he know everything? That's why he said, well, if you sin, you confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not just forgiveness. It's also the power to cleanse us, right? And, you know, this is a process that we're going through. And as we go through this process, we're going to encounter in us, our flesh, but thank God there's somebody else we encounter, Jesus Christ. And he has exactly what we need. And anyway, I got an area out there in the pine trees where I walk around, and I just said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And but there was two thoughts that came to my mind. I had walked around for a little while. One was this. You know it says in Corinthians that God has made Jesus Christ to us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and wisdom, right? That God made him that for us. So if he made that for us, for him, and that's where we stand, and we stand in his righteousness, we are righteous. And we're righteous because he stands at the right hand of God interceding for us. You know, he is my righteousness. He's your righteousness. Does anybody here have anything to brag about or to say, I'm righteous without Jesus Christ? You cannot. That doesn't exist. All righteousness comes through him. But the other thing that I thought about was what the Lord told Moses. The Lord asked him, he said, if they tell me, if the people I go to ask, what is your name? The one that you're sending me to. You're sending me to these Israelites. And what if they ask, what is your name? Do you remember what his name is? What did he tell him? I am. He is, and because he is, and because he does not change, he has everything we need. He's in the I am in the moment that we're in right now, whether it's failure, issues, challenges, something you're praying for, he has the power right now. And every day, because every day, and we wake up and it's a new day, but God don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because he is fresh and he is real and he is Jesus, he has what we need today. And if you have an ongoing issue in your life that's maybe even a problem or something you're struggling with, don't judge yourself about your failure or yesterday. Look to him today. Because he is a God of today. He is the God of the now. And so there was two passages. Well, actually, I looked them up this morning. And after looking them up this morning, it actually meant more to me. You know what? When we read the Word of God, I tell you, there's life there. He is the Word. And, you know, the Word addresses everything that we will ever encounter. And the thing of it is, too, by the Holy Spirit, he can make that Word real to us. And that's when we need it. It's grace when we need it most. I mean, I find that the times the Lord speaks to me, it seems to be the most intently is when my need is the greatest. But it makes that word fresh and real, and I can apply it to myself. And not only that, if someone else is going through the same thing maybe I went through, I can say, brother, praise God, God is faithful. And that's what happens with everybody here. When the Lord helps you, he gives you something to help someone else with. It's never just for us. Anyway, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, there are several of the songs that are being sung this morning. It was talking about the gospel. I am so glad that the Lord he's an ever-present help. Is he not? He's also, it said he intercedes for us daily. If he didn't, how would we make it? There's just times where it's a little more evident than it is on others, but there's times he's interceding for us that we have no idea. He is faithful. You know, there's people that are praying for us and we don't know about it sometimes, but you know what? It's the Spirit that makes intercession. The Lord's put on their heart and they're praying for you, and it's like God praying for you. Praise God. That's something to be encouraged about. But in verse 18, the subtitle on this is Christ Crucified is God's Power and Wisdom. Okay, I'll begin verse 18. For the wisdom of the cross, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do we need the power of God? And it's to those who are being saved. Salvation is a process. It is not a one-shot deal. If it is, I didn't get it. You know what? But it's not. And each one of us, I think, more and more are experiencing salvation when we need it. That's the kind of Christ we have. And it goes on, you know, there's so much that's said in here, but let's keep going. Okay, and then Paul quotes a passage from Isaiah. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. He's going to show right off the bat that just not by human effort, intellect, willpower, or anything else that this salvation comes. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. And it comes through the power of God. And that's why when the gospel is preached, if it's under the anointing, the word of God, you know what? They're words of life. We need words of life because we need the life giver. We need Jesus Christ. But when he inspires us, let's say it's just a simple scripture. What if it comes to your mind and like you're praying or just comes to you in the day? You know, it says the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. You know when God speaks to you, right? There's the fruit of it. There's something that takes place that's different than just reading the sentence. Thank God that's the way his word is, and thank God that's the way he speaks. He's still speaking words of life. I believe what he said, that man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's what's coming forth now. You know, that's why we need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit when we say something. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah. Okay. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, let me go back and start that one over. Jews demand a sign and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. If God tried to be foolish and he's not foolish, I mean, the fact that he's that strong. His weakness is stronger than anything we could ever muster up. It doesn't even come close. It's two different categories. It's God's strength or our strength, and that's why we need God's strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many influential, not many were noble of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, or the things that are nothing, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I mean, when we are serving God and looking to God, and all those who are children of God, do any of those children have anything to boast in themselves? Nothing. Praise God. It is because of Him. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that was one of the things that came to me last night in prayer was, Lord, you are my holiness. You are my righteousness. Lord, I trust in you. And I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else. I'm not even going to compare myself to what I would want to compare myself to as far as where I think I should be more spiritually mature, and I'm not yet. Lord, you're my righteousness. And I'm going to have to trust you. I want to trust him. He's the only one that we can trust. He's the only one that's going to bring forth the results that we need, which is what he's called us to. He called us to. Okay. The other part was this. It was about Moses. And if you would turn to Exodus chapter 4. When I read this, I saw it in a way I've never seen it. And I guess in some ways that's why I'm up here. Just I wanted to share it. Exodus chapter 4. Actually, let me read that part in Exodus 3 where the Lord, where Moses asked his name. Let me find it here. If somebody finds it before I do, just let me know here. 14, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm almost there. Okay, I'll read 13 too. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And that's the other thing. The God that we're serving, the God that we're talking to, the God that we're looking to is an ever-present help in time of need. He is I am. Whatever you stand in need of, whatever it is, God has what you need. He's promised it. That's who he is. Anyway, let's go on to chapter 4. Okay. And you know, there's a little more conversation there with the Lord talking to Moses, but chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. This gets kind of funny here. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and Moses took off running. What would you do? You know, there's a reason for everything in the Bible. But who is it that you think of in biblical symbolism that you think of as a snake? Satan. Who was it that bruised his head? Jesus Christ. And remember, the rock that followed him in the wilderness was Christ. Now, he's telling Moses, I'm with you. And the thing of it is, when he's with us, and he's with each one of us, when he's with us and he brings his presence with us, who can we trust? We have every reason to be confident, not in ourselves, but in him, right?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.